Well, they used to have two schools at home, the Catholic school and the Protestant school. And they were both on the Vanier Road, the train road at that time. And that's where I got my education. In the schools, there was no buses, you walked to schools, there was no buses then times. And sometimes, well, in our school there was only three going to school the most of the time. And some of the times the teacher was, teachers used to board at our place, they got $16 a month for their work, teaching school. And my mother used to always board them. She got $5 a month for boarding them. So that was a cheap time to live.
What were the school teachers like who boarded with you? Were they generally young girls or were they older?
Well,
girls?
I was young. They generally, so you see, they had an elementary system here in Quebec, and that as long as you knew some things, you know, they'd give you a certificate, and you didn't have to be educated way up to mathematics and all this kind of stuff. But then there was, you say you come from Buckingham. There were two of them that I went to school to come from Buckingham. One was Susie Smith. Wouldn't happen to her. And the other one was Irene Kelly. That was in about 1910 or 1911, I guess, around that. But then there was other ones come from the Gatineau. I called Emily Egan, was the last teacher I went to. She came from the Gatineau.
When did they get away from the one-room schoolhouse and start to go to the larger schools?
Well, when they got the buses. See, they closed all the country schools and brought them to the cities.
Did people like that? Did people care?
Well, some people did and some people didn't. But they found out after that it was very much a mistake. They said it was going to be cheaper, but our taxes went up, so it wasn't any cheaper. But the trouble of it was, as you know, I suppose he grew up good boys. I think he'd be two good fellows. Well, most of the people that was going on the buses to school, they picked them up from all around. Most of the people was good fellows. Good kids. But there always was, you know, there always was one or two in the country or so. There was a real devil. And then we'd get mixed up with those good fellas. And by hell, the next they'd be all.
Yeah.
They're all devils.
Yeah.
And I know, I used to have a friend who was driving the bus from the start first. And two young lads, who were about 10-year-old, started a fight on the bus. And of course, his orders was to put them off the bus if they started fighting, trouble. So of course, he done this, put them off the bus. And by hell, the mothers of them two kids were so mad, they went to the school board, and that poor young fellow lost his job. But our tax and my, I have a tax bill here. My father used to own a hatchet. used to own 50 acres of land up all the way above Prime Minister's Cottage. And that's the taxes he used to pay.
$2.25.
For a year. You see, we used to have a post office. Can you see it on your chart there, Simmons? Not very plain.
Okay. Yeah.
That was the way they sent notices out for bills. That place where I lived went by the name of Simmons Post Office, of course. But that's 1908. So that's not young.
No, it's not.
Tell me what that's for.
I don't think so, no.
A scale?
Hey?
Is it a scale of some kind?
That's right.
Yeah.
You see, you put this up here. And you put your stuff on here. And then you took this. It's marked on there someplace. All the pounds are out there. Hmm. I tell you, that's old time stuff.
Yeah, yes it is indeed. So it's basically a rod with a weight, a movable weight, and you've got hooks. Okay, I see. And another hook to hang it on.
That's what they used to use. There was a fellow at home one time, I was showing him that, and he said, just how does it work? Well, I said, you put this in your mouth. I said, and that'll be He didn't fall for that.
Of which time, how old is this?
Well, that's over 100 years of age.
Really?
When did you stop using things like this?
Oh, long before my time. I don't remember the ever. But they had it at home, and then I have another thing here. It's come out of court after that.
That be the way fish?
Hey?
That be the way fish? No.
That's what they used to call an ounce. That's what they were saying. Them was in my time. See all the weight on here? And weight, I think. £25 there. Can't see it very well.
And that would be more accurate than that piece there?
Oh, I don't have to watch that. Those are the hell stuff. I got another thing out in the outside. They call it cradle. You never seen them.
They have.
You never seen?
What is this again?
A cradle.
A cradle? I don't think so. No.
That's what they used to use to cut the grain with.
Okay, well, what does it look like?
Just go out when I show it to you.
Okay.
That's some change that you could write a note on. Send a tax bill for a cent.
Yeah.
You have to pay 34.
Yeah, that's an old... That's not a stamp, it's...
Well, it's just right on the... They made them right on the...
Oh, I see.
You could buy them stamps if you want to write a note that you didn't care too much about, well, you should write it on. They've had them playing off another nice...
Tell me, You and your sister both stayed on the farm, but where did your brothers and sisters go?
Well, they're all dead now, of course.
Yeah.
But my sister, that sister, she's in the St. Patrick's home. But there were two of the girls, three of the girls married. They went away. One went to Farnham. One lived in Brockville. Another one lived in Hull here. And then my oldest brother, I was 20 years younger than him, and my father bought a farm for him, this fellow here, and he left home when he was 32, and I was only 12. So he got married, and he had 10 of the family. Well, that's why I never married. I'm afraid of having that many, too.
So, how many of the family were in farming altogether, like of yours?
Well, then this, my father bought another farm and gave it to this fella. And he farmed, left home and farmed. So then there was only, my father died in 1920. And it was just my mother and my sister and myself. Left on the farm for a good many years. Mother died in 1936. Then there was just mother, sister and I. So she took sick of it. And the biggest year was this fall. She had to go to the hospital. She's been in the home ever since. Of course, there's no place for me alone, so I put in one winter there and the winter road was terrible. We lived a long piece on the road, 1,000 feet, and it was a very hard thing to keep the road open. Open, and blow this way, blow that. About the year 1975, you see, when you hire somebody to plow the road for you, you had to have a credential for that depth of snow. And the more snow you put out on the banks of the road, the more it'd blow in. Of course, the road was going to block. So I seen the only salvation to do was to get a snowblower. And so in the fall of 19, the beginning of 1975, I got a snowblower, good one too, 10 horsepower. And that had blown the snow away to hell, 70 feet away. And there was none of this drifting in and filling the road up. I was getting along pretty good with that. And come the 5th of February, and one night there was I used to go to the stable about 6 o'clock every evening to look at everything before I went to bed. And there was three fellas coming along to the house. And they asked my sister where I was, and didn't mention their names, I guess they asked who the boss was or something, but she said I was at the barn, so they came on down to the barn, the stable. So I came out the stable door, and they had their big floodlights, you know, home one shone right in the barn, the other one shone down into the road. And these fellas was coming down. I saw the stable door and looked up. These two fellows was coming, one ahead of the other. And I didn't know. I thought this was awful funny because anybody come to the house and want to see me, they were going to stay at the house, like that. So this fellow came up to me. And he asked me if I was Mr. Geraldine. I said, no, I'm not. and that was daily. So he put his arm around me. I thought that was a little bit too friendly. He said, we want your money. I said, I haven't got no money. Oh, yes, you have money. You got you were expropriated here. You got $135,000. And we want that. I suppose that thing never happened. I said, I got no $135,000. And I said, if I did get that, it wouldn't be here. So I said, no, you're looking here for it. Oh, that was all baloney. It was here. So they took me. This time, the fella came up from behind him, and he had a gun in his hand. So I see the first fella had a gun too. So they took me back into the horse stable. I didn't give them no lip. And they searched me that I didn't have a gun or any money on me. So we went to the house, and I had about $100, I guess, in my wallet that night. And I thought I'd give them that, and they go away. So I went upstairs, and one fella came up with me, because they would not be out of sight. And I gave him the money out of the wallet, and that wasn't money, that was nothing at all. They wanted $135,000. And I said, that's a hell of a lot of looking. Well, they went to work, and they went into the rooms, and I had no cupboard there. And there was old papers and that from my father's day, 1900. And they tore them all out from all over the floor. That was one solid bits of mess. And they couldn't find the money anyway. So the one fellow went into my sister's room, hunted everybody there. Another fellow, he went into my room, hunted another fellow. He came in, and he had a great big two-barreled shotgun. He just kept that pointed at me all the time. That wasn't a very nice situation to be in.
No, it wasn't.
So, at last the lad came from upstairs, and he had my sister's bank book, and he said, this is what I was wanting to see. I said, well, let's see it. So the clock up on the wall, and I was looking up at the clock, and he said, are you expecting somebody? I said, yes. He said, what time are they coming? I said, 7 o'clock. I wasn't Italian. It wasn't long getting out of it then. But he tied me up, hands together, my feet together, sort of tie my sister up, and I said to him, I said, don't take tie an old lady like that up. I said, you know what, she's not no good. The first thing I did when they went to the house was pull the phone off the wall. Just give her one jerk and the whole thing came off. So when they couldn't get the money, they wouldn't tell them where the money was. They said, well, we'd go and get the gasoline and set fire to the house. You know, that frightened me more than anything else. I thought they might do it. But they did tie my sister up anyway. Of course, the way they tied me, I had no trouble. But they told me, one fella was a kind of a gentleman, you see. He was pretty good. And he said, you give me your next neighbor's phone number, and we'll call them up and tell them they come and let you loose in a half an hour. They want to get away before they... So they didn't burn the house, and they didn't... I never seen them since, but I wasn't very anxious to see them.
But you never found out who they were?
Never found out. Never. They never tried to find out.
No.
We were in South Hull up there, or Lucerne at that time. They had a police station down there, Morod there. And we know, and anybody would know, that they must have arrested some people like that sometime during that winter or the summer. They never asked me to go down to identify anybody. Although they had covered their heads, this fellow that was so close to me, he just white tape over his face, you know. I couldn't identify him again. But they never asked me, so they weren't very anxious about that from it. I called the police the next morning, and he came out. And the first thing he said to me, when did this take out? I said, last night, about 7 o'clock. And when you call us? I said, how in the hell could we call you when the phone was pulled off the wall? He said, why didn't you call? Your neighbors didn't call. I said, like a hell. I said, they told me, I said, to stay there sitting in that chair for half an hour, and I certainly done what they told me to. I wasn't getting up following them around. They'd put a ball in me at any time.
So who actually had been expropriated?
Well, these fellas.
No, but the people who got the money.
Well, nobody got.
No, there was nobody who had gotten any money?
No. I had been expropriated, and they're all expropriated around there for that industrial park. And but nobody got that much, 50,000 and the likes of that, you know. But they didn't try anybody else. But they just thought that they must have known of some I pretty good idea, I knew one of them. But didn't have any chance to find out.
They must have been kind of silly, though, expecting you to keep money like that.
Well, that's any person with any sense at all in their head would know that you weren't keeping that much money around the house.
Yeah.
And then, if a man, of course there's a lot of old people, you know, and they're afraid of the banks. Not so many now. There used to be a lot of people who wouldn't put the money in the bank.
Because they remember the Depression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what they thought we were foolish enough to do, because we were old. We were doing that, keeping at home. It wasn't safe around. But I don't know. They never. But I had a neighbor. Four fellows in the house. They didn't have any guns at the moment. So of course once they seen him, they had taken the window just like that there, and they had come in through the window. And he said they just went out like that, just like rats going out. So they ran up to their car, and it was up the road a little bit, and by hell, they run off the road a little bit, you know, the road is not right there, and of course, if they plowed them to the right of the bank, so the ditch, and it was very easy that they run off the road in the ditch. One fella came back into him, ask him if he used the phone to get the, a wrecking truck. The guy said to him, he said, Dylan, you won't need a wrecking truck because the police will be here in a few minutes. Of course, he had called the police and he said, less than 20 minutes, the police was there, the rest of the whole bunch of them. They didn't take anything from him, but the police up the road, they had robbed them, taken their television and stuff like that.
The same night?
Same, just 3 minutes before that.
Right. They mentioned that you've done a lot of work in politics.
Yes, I was pretty much interested in politics. At one time, I used to be organizer out there, the Liberal Party. People to vote or work for an election if we didn't have money for them. But in the place where the mostly the Conservatives was family, and they had a lot of votes, Conservatives had a lot of votes, well, they got a lot of money to spend there. But I wouldn't. I'd never got very much. I had to do a lot of this work for nothing. That wasn't very good.
So it used to be all paid then?
Oh, for all paid.
It's mostly volunteer now, I mean.
Well, I suppose it's a certain amount of volunteer, but I guess at the top, the big fellas at the top get.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true. The organizers of whole areas do get paid.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I know that it's the same way, I remember one time we had a meeting over in the House of Commons there. I was 24 at that meeting. And every one of them, I think there was two of us, they didn't in the next 4 or 5 years, didn't get a job from the government or job or something, you know. And well, I was one of the two that never got any. So of course you get tired of that.
Yeah.
There used to be a little bit, money was pretty scarce, you know. And there used to be a little bit in the numerating in the Dominion election, but the submission election, it was a headache. You had to go around with these tabs and give them to everybody. And they made damn sure that you had to go there. Maybe sometimes you have to make two or three trips there.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. To leave the cards behind.
Well, yeah. Sometimes you leave the cards behind. Sometimes you get held for doing that.
Yeah, there's a problem with enumerating today, if not too.
Oh yeah. And I was one. I lived in the country all my life. I live around there. And I knew